Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in Luke 5, verses 17 through 28. Our text can be found in verses 27 and 28. The sermon I'll be reading this afternoon references language from the King James Version, so I'll be reading from that text. Again, our reading this afternoon is from Luke 5, 17 through 28, with our text being verses 28, 27, and 28. Come now, and let us hear the word of our Lord. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things this day. And now our text. And after these things he went forth, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. I'm going to begin by reading our text again from the King James Version, Luke 5, verses 27 and 28. And after these things he went forth, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Beloved congregation, and after these things he went forth. With these words here in our text, Luke continues his gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to say, as it were, also in what follows hereafter, I will point you to him, of whom I have spoken up to now. Luke has told us many good things about the Lord Jesus, king-like things. Unclean spirits, lingering diseases had to vanish at his authoritative and powerful word. When Peter, at that word, let down his net, it was full to overflowing. When it says here in our text that he went forth out of Capernaum, where a paralytic was healed by him, so that he rose up and walked. Moreover, the Lord Jesus had said to this paralytic, Man, your sins are forgiven you. What a glorious manifestation of Jesus' kingly might and of his priestly love. So we are pointed to him. He went forth and saw a publican, a tax collector. The theme for this message is the conversion of Levi. It will be addressed in four parts. Jesus sees Levi. Jesus calls Levi. Jesus empowers Levi. And ultimately, Levi's response. It is indeed remarkable that Jesus saw him, that he had an eye for a publican. Such a publican was not liked very much in the Jewish land. There were townsmen who collected taxes for the hated Romans. That might perhaps still be acceptable as such, but those publicans terribly overcharged the people. They demanded much more from the people than the amount of the taxes and the provision due to them. They were able to do that because they were protected by the strong army of the Roman government, which otherwise hardly could get its taxes. It is therefore understandable that these publicans, these tax collectors, were not liked very much and had a bad reputation. They were put on a level with shameful sinners. The people, and especially their leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, looked past them. They looked the other way when they came across such a person. They proudly thought, I am thankfully better than he. Do we perhaps also go about like that with publicans and sinners? For they are still there. people whom we suspect of being guilty of an immoral and vile life. For instance, people in trouble, of whom everyone knows it, in the neighborhood, in the church. Do we perhaps also walk past them and shun them? Not the Lord Jesus. He sees a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. Most probably, Levi's tax office was located just outside Capernaum, in the vicinity of the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, of the Lake of Tiberia, where the tariff was collected on any merchandise that passed along the international highway between Syria and Egypt. There, Jesus sees him being at work on collecting taxes, conducting his disgraceful business. Jesus sees a publican named Levi. That name Levi could mean that he came from a good Jewish family. His father's name was Alphaeus. He must have faithfully seen to it that Levi was instructed in the scriptures of the Old Testament. For later on, when Levi, whose name is then Matthew, writes his gospel, the first book of the New Testament, he quotes again and again the scriptures of the Old Testament. Therefore, the question arises in us, how did this Levi ever become a publican? What a misery there must be behind that. The same misery which is seen in the life of a boy or girl who, brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, thinks that the world will bring happiness. Maybe Levi was tempted by lust for money. But however that may be, Jesus sees him. Jesus looks attentively at him, for that is what it says. Think of that. Jesus looks attentively at Levi. Is Jesus in this sermon not also looking attentively at you and me? What did Levi look like in Jesus' eyes? The eye is the mirror of the soul. Jesus' soul was perfectly pure and holy. He cannot look into iniquity. He is completely true. He looks through all outward appearance. Maybe seemingly Levi looked happy, but Jesus' eyes penetrate. Jesus' eye see the life of Levi as it really is, unclean, untrue, and also miserable. Jesus' eyes see that Levi, with all his riches, is but a poor fellow, without peace with God. Yes, poor is what Levi must have looked like in the eyes of Christ, and actually also abominable, for Christ's pure soul could never take pleasure in a life like that. Jesus saw Levi in his sinfulness and in his miserableness, but at the same time, he also saw him as an object of pity and compassion. That is how Christ saw Zacchaeus too, who also was a publican. That is how Christ saw Peter as well, after his denial of Christ. And so we read in Luke 22, verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." How do you think we, you and I, how would we look like in the eyes of Christ? Not better than Levi. Also defiled, poor, and needy, or not? However high and great we think we are, nevertheless, I saw thee, says the Lord. Ezekiel 16, verse 6, polluted in thine own blood. How much we like to see ourselves with the eyes of people who flatter us. It is a painful discovery when we learn to see ourselves as Christ sees us, stripped of all of our beautiful appearance, uncovered in our iniquities and enmity against God. Who then still dares to lift up his eyes? Face to face with the shining purity and cleanliness of the eyes of Christ, we cannot stand. We must cast down our eyes and cover our face with both of our hands, confessing, Lord, we have sinned. But almost at the same time, we may also experience the cherishing love which shines from his face. Unfathomable wonder. In that judgment, Jesus loves the sinner. He himself has borne that judgment. He saw Levi. He looked attentively at him. Jesus Christ, of whom we have just read in the same chapter, that he has the power to forgive sins. So, he is still going forth and looks at sinners. Do you not see his eyes shining in the preaching of the word, of the law and the gospel, of the law which strikes down, and of the gospel which lifts up? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus calls Levi. The matter did not end with that one uncovering moment when Jesus saw Levi. In the kingdom of God, nothing happens without words. Sometimes much can be said without words, but the word follows. It is a short word. Strictly speaking, it is only a command. Follow me. Jesus sees and Jesus calls. In this calling, Christ is completely in the center. He calls Levi to follow him. What matters is Christ and the relationship with his blessed person. First of all, Levi is called not to adhere to a certain doctrine or to join a certain group of people, but he is called by Jesus to follow him. That does not exclude the other things which we mentioned, but this is put first and foremost. Follow me. The emphasis is on the word me here in our text. Follow me. That is how it still is. Also now, the most important thing is to follow him. It is understandable that the world follows all kinds of things and all kinds of people. But when God's church does that, it's foolish. How often are we at fault in this respect? We are followers of one or another theologian. We follow preachers. We like to belong to one another group, while strictly speaking, we leave the matter there. Christ and his word are not all important to us, but Jesus says, follow me. That means as much as listen to me, rely on me, expect it from me. Let me be the content of your life. Be resolved to know nothing except me and my cross. Follow me. Here Christ demands Levi in his whole life to follow him. Jesus may certainly do that. He is a reliable guide. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he shows the way. The Savior carries him or her who follows him. He is able to do that. He is mighty and faithful. He himself has struggled through the dark river of death. He opened a way, and he is the way. Whoever follows him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. Christ comes to demand Levi, to claim him. He is able to do that. He has also saved Levi's lost life before God's face. The same Jesus is also now calling, follow me. Do you hear that call to you personally? What do we follow in our lives? We are bound to be disappointed in things and in people. If they lead us at all, they cannot carry us. And where do they lead us? Let us give up that foolishness and blindness. Follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. That means go after me. Jesus calls Levi to come after him, not go before him. Following is following without a program. Surrendering to Jesus and following him, that can only be unconditional. Sometimes we do have our programs. It has to be so and so. The way with Christ has to lead me there and there. That is what also troubled the disciples many a time. Christ should not suffer and go down. No, but with Jesus they would be exalted higher and higher. To be humbled was not included in their schedule. But to follow the Lamb really means to follow him wherever he goes and whatever he says unconditionally. Following Christ, going after him, means then for us he is the only security, and his word the only guide. That word many a time takes away from us all certainties and securities which we like to have so much, in order that it might be Christ, Christ alone. Jesus empowered Levi. So then Jesus saw Levi. He looked attentively at him with his penetrating, uncovering, and yet loving eyes. And he said unto him, follow me. What is Levi going to do now? Is he going to follow Jesus? Strictly speaking, it's not a question. It is a matter of course. There is no time for discussion or consideration concerning the question, whether it's possible or whether it's permissible. It simply has to be done. Jesus' word is with power, the power of love. Follow me. The power in this call is the same power by which he forgives sins, because he is the Savior who saves his people from their sins. Who gives his life a ransom for many, he demands the lives of men. They cannot do anything else but surrender to him. The Lord has a willing people on the day of his power, Psalm 110, verse 3. That day there was in the life of Levi, Yes, surprisingly, of Zacchaeus the publican, we still read that he sought to see Jesus who he was in Luke 19, verse 2. In Zacchaeus' life as a tax collector, little by little, something had made him feel a longing to see Jesus. But here in Levi's life, everything happens suddenly, and it is full of majesty. The powerful call of King Jesus tears Levi away from his old life. The Pharisees could not do that, even if they had tried to do it at all. Maybe Alpheus, Levi's father, had also tried to bring his son back from that sinful way, but it was of no use. Levi himself, perhaps, had also sometimes felt a desire to start doing all things differently, to live a better life. Who knows? But Levi did not have the power to do that, just like all of us do not have that power. As far as we by ourselves are concerned, it will ultimately come to nothing. Sometimes, we may make an attempt to change our way of life, but again and again we fall back into that same former condition. What a struggle it is. As a bird with a broken wing, we are trying to try and try again to scramble to our feet, but it is doomed to failure. Oh, what a world then. Follow me. Maybe you know the expression, he or she saved the situation by saying what he or she said. But with regard to Levi's situation, nobody could save that situation by what he or she said. We people cannot do that. We are no saviors. We will never be saviors either. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. And when he comes to us with his powerful word and says to us, follow me, it just has to happen. Then it is also possible, for he himself guarantees everything. And then we are also willing, because he has drawn us with his eternal love for sinners. Levi's response. Therefore, what else could Levi do but follow Jesus? It says in our text, and he left all. He left everything. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? Jesus, so we read in Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Levi, however, joyfully left his tax office. With that tax office, he gave up his whole earthly gain. He left everything to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And he left all, says our text, rose up and followed him. What about us, beloved? It can be also with us that we still stay behind, sorrowful, maybe piously talking about our spiritual inability, but also with a heart full of love for our old life. But then how poor you are indeed. 1 John 2, verse 17 states, for the world passes away and the lust thereof. On the other hand, however, how rich we are if we may leave everything and follow Jesus. What have we offered up then, really? Let us not boast of it. What we have offered up is nothing else but a poor and lost life. To lose such a life is only gain in him. From our text, and he left all. But someone might ask, may I then have nothing at all? You may have everything if you only have him. Then everything will come right. Two people, for instance, may have a house, both of them a house of his own. One of the two has it and clings to it with all his might. The other one may have it as though he did not have it. Or, to say it with the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:30, the other person may possess his house as though he did not possess it, because Christ has become the richest possession through faith. The secret in the life of a Christian is to possess all things in Christ. Certainly, that always means for every one of God's children to leave everything which is not according to the law of God and to his glory. Levi was not allowed to continue his disgraceful practices. He had to lose his evil inclination. The old man Levi had to die. He left all, and so he went up on that way of dying, following Christ, wholeheartedly and joyfully. He left all, and he rose up. Of course he had to rise up, if he wanted to follow Jesus. But yet in his rising up, we may see the sign of his resurrection to a new life. It is as if Levi wakes up. He was sitting at his tax office, Jesus saw him sitting there. Figuratively speaking, his old life was sitting, resting, lying lost in death. Now he begins to live. Awakened by Jesus' powerful word, he rises up to fight the good fight of faith. In John 5, verse 25, we hear the Lord Jesus say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, those who are spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That is what happens when Levi leaves everything, rises up, and follows Jesus. The dead hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Is someone perhaps despairingly sighing, "Shall I ever arise from my lost life? Does it seem to be impossible to you?" With you it is indeed impossible, but not with the Lord. Jesus saw Levi. He looked attentively at him. Levi must have felt what David says in Psalm 139. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." Oh, you will say, "But then I must cry out with Peter, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" But remember, what does David pray at the end of Psalm 139? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." God's children, in their right state of mind, like to be uncovered. This psalmist, David, knew that he too was tainted and that wickedness might be hidden in his heart. So at the end, he asked God to do what at the beginning he says God has already done. "Thou hast searched me and known me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is that not wonderful? The fact that God knows all things is to the sinner a matter of full terror. But for the repentant believer, it is not a matter of terror at all. C.H. Spurgeon once said regarding this, "Since the Lord will pardon all the sins of believers in Jesus, we are glad that he should see them all, so that he may completely and effectively remove them all." Blessed are you who know that gladness. Yes, with the Lord it is possible to give that gladness to you who knows and confesses, "I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face." It is possible in and through Christ, who once said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 25. Beloved, each and every one of you, did you also hear the Lord this afternoon calling you? We have seen how Levi was called to discipleship. Jesus saw him sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. None other than Jesus. We know too from the Gospel of Matthew that Levi never regretted following Jesus. He followed him in everything, and even in spite of all of the consequences connected with that following, because he leads and guides and carries his followers, and because he himself is the way. On that way, all God's children learn to sing, "Lead me, lead me, lead me in the way everlasting. Keep me from the things that wither and decay. Give me the things that must never pass away, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen. Let us close in prayer. Great and merciful Father, it is with thankfulness and joy in our hearts that we come before you. Dear Lord, you know that like Levi, each and every one of us is incapable of rising up on our own and going forth to leave behind the sin and indebtedness to the world that each of us desires in our own way. We thankfully recognize through your word and message today that it is not by our own strength, but by your grace alone that we have the strength to rise. We humbly ask that you allow each of us to willingly open our hearts and minds to joyfully accept the penetrating, weighing, and ultimately forgiving gaze of Christ our Savior, that we, like Levi, would be granted the grace to simply follow you. We thank you for the word you have provided and the encouragement it brings, illustrating your grace and in giving instruction that we may understand what is required in putting you at the center of all of our being. We ask that you continue to watch over us in the coming week ahead and grant us the work of the Spirit that we may focus on you in all that we say and do, that we may answer your call and truly follow you. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.